Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's word. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again to heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came, he saw the grace of God. He was glad, and he exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, if the story that I read tonight sounds familiar to you, that's a good thing. Because last time that I preached for you in the evening, we looked at this story recounted for us in Acts chapter 10. The story of the vision of Peter and that great sheet coming down from heaven. The story of the vision of Cornelius to call Peter to come and minister to them. And I was talking with the family before church night saying, you know, it's really the same story as we looked at last time. And someone said, well, why are we preaching it again? Why are you going through it again? Well, the reason we do that is because in Scripture, to signify emphasis, they didn't have the tools we have today. You know, writing down things in our computers, we can use bold type or italic type or 18-point type. This is really important. When the Scriptures were written, to demonstrate importance, they told the story again and again and again. That was their way of highlighting the significance of an event. And so the Holy Spirit found it so significant to write this down for us again, it seemed proper that we look at this story once again. We talked about the amazing thing that God was doing, bringing the Holy Spirit even on the Gentiles. How earth-shaking that would be for the church. And so as we look at the story tonight, this time from Acts chapter 11, we see that not everybody was happy with what God was doing. Not everybody was happy with the growth of the Christian church, now even on the Gentiles. And we're reminded ourselves, what is our attitude towards God's work by the power of His Spirit as He grows His church? Sometimes that can make us a bit uncomfortable. We see in chapter 11 two stories kind of put back to back. The story, first of all, the recounting of the vision, and then the story of Barnabas going to Antioch. And these two have two different responses to the work of God, to the work of Jesus Christ by the power of His Spirit, reminding us how we must respond as God chooses in His time and in His way to grow His church. Peter is being called to account. He goes to Jerusalem, and they've heard about the gospel coming, even on the Gentiles. But rather than receiving him with joy, they say, "What are you doing? You ate with uncircumcised men. You went and talked with uncircumcised men. That's against the law. You shouldn't have done that." And so Peter is going to give his defense of what happened, showing them how it was not his action, but God's direction and God's action in his ongoing work of growing his church, first in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. He recounts the story that he was in Joppa praying, and he was in this trance and had a vision and saw this great sheet descending. Remember that story, children, about that great sheet coming down? And in this sheet are all kinds of animals. And Peter, this was about noontime, he was hungry, he wanted something to eat. And so he hears this voice, the voice of God says to him, "Go ahead, Peter, arise, kill and eat. You're hungry, have something to eat." Peter responds, "Oh no, Lord. I can't do that because the animals in this sheet are unclean animals. They are common animals. There were dietary laws for the Jews about what they could eat and what they couldn't eat. Some meat was clean, some meat was unclean." And Peter says, "Oh no, Lord, I have never eaten anything common. I've never eaten anything unclean. I would never think about breaking your law." And God speaks to him again and says, "What God has made clean, do not call common." Three times this happens. Three times the sheet comes down. Three times, "Rise and take and eat. What God has made clean, do not call common." God was teaching Peter in a vision that there was a change about to happen. There was something different that was going to go on. Peter wanted to hold on to the old ceremonial law. But God says, "I'm making a change." That ceremonial law was going to fall away. The traditions were going to fall away. And God says, "I'm now expanding my work and expanding the gospel. Call nothing common or unclean, which I have made clean." And so three times this vision happens, and three times he sees it go on. And then finally in verse 11, "And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house. And they were sent from Caesarea, and the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction." Again, Peter's point is, this is God's work. This is God's action. This is not what I was doing. But the Spirit gave me instructions. Now, how that happened, we don't exactly know. But the Spirit told me to go with them without making distinction. That was the point of the vision. Not a distinction between clean and unclean. But go with them without distinction. Yes, they're Gentiles, but go with them Don't worry about it. Peter has the vision from God and the Spirit directing him. The Spirit told me to go with them without making any distinction. Then he recounts for them Cornelius' vision. Verse 13. He told us, Cornelius, how he had seen an angel stand in his house and say, "Send to Joppa, bring Simon who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household." The double confirmation. The confirmation not only on Peter's side of being able to go and speak with the Gentiles, but from the Gentile side. That God was doing something powerful and active, and he would give his grace even to them now. Listen to this man. He will bring to you a message by which you will be saved. Both sides, the Jew and the Gentile, recognized that God was at work. It was God's initiative that was moving the church forward. And this word of salvation would come to Cornelius and to all of his household. And then Peter says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. They too, even on the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit came. We've talked about how Pentecost was really a Jewish event. It was a Jewish activity. Even when the gospel goes to Judea and Samaria, these are still Jews at heart. But now the word of life comes to the nations, comes to the Gentiles at God's direction. And Peter says, as I was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us. And so they were baptized. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed, who was I that I could stand in God's way? These Gentile converts were not to be seen as second-class Christians. We talked about how there was that class of God-fearers, those who were adherents to Judaism but did not follow the external laws, the ceremonial law. They were called God-fearers. But God is showing through Peter now that we don't want to make that second-class status. All are going to be the same. Don't call common, which I have cleansed, God says. No distinction. They're broken down. The ceremonial law is being done away with, and all that matters is that they accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, who was I to stand in God's way? The Jews in Jerusalem weren't happy about what God was doing. Peter had to explain it to them that it wasn't by his initiative, but it was by God's direction. These new people coming in didn't follow the old ceremonial ways. They did not follow the traditions of Judaism. And that made some people uncomfortable. God continues to grow his church today. He continues to bring in those whom he has chosen. And some come from different backgrounds. And it's easy for us to kind of become uncomfortable. Even as we see God blessing his church, they come from a different background. Perhaps they don't do things exactly like we do. They don't know our traditions. Now, we certainly pray that the traditions we have in our church are biblical traditions, that we do things as close as we can according to Scripture, but we know that there are some things that we do that way just because we've always done them that way. And then when God brings new people in, that they maybe haven't done them that way before. And that can cause us to be a little uncomfortable at times. The Jews in Jerusalem were uncomfortable because the ceremonial law was being ignored. We must be ever so careful to rightly distinguish between that which is biblical and that which is traditional. Again, like I said, we hope that our traditions are based on Scripture. But there are some things that are just part of our tradition. And if someone comes in with a little different tradition, we should not allow that to be a discomfort for us, but rather to see that God is at work, that God is growing his church. When these people heard these things, they fell silent. And then they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life." They were reminded. This was not a man's doing. This was not people following Peter. This was God at work. God bringing in whom he wanted to bring in. And with that reminder, they fell silent. They stopped their complaining. But they said, "No, God truly is working in our midst. The Gentiles also have been granted repentance that leads to life." Again, I don't think we can appreciate how life-shaking that was to them. Even on the Gentiles, the Spirit of God came. Not on the chosen ones, not even on those who had intermarried with others, but now the nations having the blessing of being granted repentance that leads to life. That first story, recounting what took place with Peter and Cornelius, shows us how we are not to respond to what God is doing. The circumcision party were upset with what was going on. This second story put here as kind of a balance to that. The certain Jews responded this way, but here's what should have happened. Verse 19. "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews." This brings us back now to the beginnings of chapter 8. We talked about the ongoing movement of the church, pushed on by persecution. Chapter 8, verse 1, "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria." And then verse 4, "And those who were scattered went about preaching the word." So Stephen is martyred, and the church begins, there's a persecution for the church, and they begin to scatter. Now those who were scattered, because of this persecution, went as far as Phoenicia, as Cyprus, as Antioch, speaking the word of God. God was continuing to work his ways out in his church. But even here, as the word went out, they still had, we might say, these blinders on, and they spoke the word to Jews only. That this was still a message from God, but only to the Jews. But there were some of them, verse 20, "men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Greeks also," the Gentiles also, "preaching the Lord Jesus." The grace of God is going to expand the work of the gospel, is going to continue to grow the church, and they preached the Lord Jesus Christ, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believe turned to the Lord. Now, not only to the Jews, not even Judeans and Samaritans, but now the ends of the earth, the Gentiles, are hearing the gospel. What is the response given in this second story? Verse 22. "The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came, he saw the grace of God, and he was glad." Now, this too would have been a shaking sight for him. Yes, it is true that Gentiles also coming to faith. But when he sees what God is doing, he saw the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. To remain faithful to the Lord. Barnabas exhorts them to encourage them, not calling them, first of all, to remain faithful to the tradition, to the external ceremonial law, but remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who had been preached to them, the one by God's grace who had granted them repentance that leads to life. That was the glorious message of the gospel. It was not do things this particular way, The message of Jesus Christ is repent and believe and know life and salvation. And it's that same message that we declare again tonight. If you've come looking for the answers to the problems in your life or the problems around you, you're not going to get a set of 16 different things to do or 12 easy steps. But the call of the gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and know salvation. Know Him as the one who is Savior and the one who is Lord. The one whom God has sent into the world to redeem a fallen people for His very own. And as that word continues to go out, and God chooses to use the preaching of the Lord Jesus, the hand of the Lord is mighty and a great number who believed, our response should be that of gladness and joy. It is evidence of the grace of God working in our midst. It is evidence of God Himself not abandoning His church, but working powerfully in His church. Barnabas came. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Barnabas came to encourage them. Barnabas came to exhort them to remain steadfast to the Lord Jesus Christ with all steadfast purpose. That must be fundamentally, at its very root, what binds us together. Not an external tradition, not a way of doing things, but an absolute belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, our Savior, and our Lord. And that is what we must encourage each other with. Barnabas was there to encourage them, and Barnabas went to Tarsus, and he looked for Saul, and we found him, brought him to Antioch, and for a whole year there was instruction going on. Instruction in the Lord Jesus Christ, in who He was, in what He was doing. As God by His grace continues to bring people into our own midst, there will be need for instruction. And we pray that God might raise up leaders from within our own body to give that instruction, that ongoing care, that help in a walk with the Lord, to be encouragers, to be those who recognize God is at work by His grace in His church. And as we then encourage others, we see that God is at work in us. To give a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, a reminder that we must remain true and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ as evidence that the Spirit is active, is powerful, not only in His body, the church, but in us as well. God continues to grow the Christian church. It is not, first of all, the Jewish church or the Gentile church. It's not, first of all, the Dutch church or the English church. Not the upper middle class church, but the Christian church, those who confess Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior. And that must be our prayer, that God grow the Christian church by the power of His Spirit at His time and in His ways. Because as God grows His church, then that body of believers becomes available and willing and active to serve others. And the church continues to grow. We read that in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. They were identified with Christ. I always find it interesting that the disciples were not called Jesuits, identified with Jesus. Jesus was certainly the name of the second person of the Trinity, but they were called Christians. Because Christ highlights the office of our Lord and Savior. Christ means anointed one. Christ came as the one anointed to be our prophet and priest and king, and they are called Christians. Those who are aligned with Christ's anointing. Our own confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, asks, why are you called Christian? Because I share in the anointing of Christ. I share in what he is called to do, to be a prophetic voice of encouragement to those around us, to be a priest who prays and intercedes for others, to recognize the kingship of Christ, and to even to reign for him and with him here on earth. Christian talks about our service, what we are anointed to do. And then we have this very specific example of what they did. A prophet comes from Jerusalem to Antioch, speaks about an upcoming famine that will be over all the world, and the disciples determined, everyone according to their ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. They had received the word of God, they had received the Spirit of God, and their response is to serve other people. And when they hear about this upcoming famine, even before it happens, they determine they're going to help. They determine they're going to serve. The disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. Each according to his ability. I think sometimes we might look at our congregation and say, well, we're a relatively small church. There's not a whole lot we can do to help others. Not a whole lot we can do to minister to those around us. God doesn't call us to minister like a large church. But he calls us to minister with the gifts and talents he's given to us, according to our ability. Just because we can't do things like a 100-family church does, doesn't mean we can't be of service to others. Service to those we think of in our own federation, and we think of other churches in the area. We think of the way the gospel's going out in church planting efforts, that we support them, that we be diligent in prayer for them, that we, according to our abilities, serve others because we have been brought in. The Gentile church sends help to Judea. The outsiders, those who were brought in, those who actually made some of them back there uncomfortable. But when they hear of a need, their response is, how can we help? How can we be of service? And the disciples determined, according to their own abilities, to send relief to the brothers in Judea. There was this sense of belonging and wanting to help those with whom they were now part of the body. And may God grow that spirit in us as well. We recognize, left to ourselves, we will be very miserly with our gifts toward others. But God works in us by the power of His Holy Spirit. He changes our hearts. He changes our lives, that our focus is not so myopic and so inward focused, but that we do see the needs of those around us and respond according to our own ability, that God might use that to continue to grow His church. Not that it's our work. Like Peter says, it's not my work. God's at work here. But that God, in His grace, might choose to use us, to include us in the encouragement of others and in the ongoing spread of the Christian church. The story is told for us again. It is significant. The gospel comes and the Holy Spirit is given even to the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit underlines that for us in Scripture, even to the Gentiles, as an evidence that God is at work. May we pray that God continue to do that work in our own midst. That He continue to bring the people of His choosing, in His time and in His way, and that we respond with the encouragement of Barnabas, with those who were glad and exhorted them and trained them and taught them. And as God gives us opportunity to be of service not only to those in our own congregation, but to the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for the way that You highlight for us that which is significant in Your ongoing expanding work of the gospel. Lord God, if we have in the past been guilty of being uncomfortable because of those whom you've brought into our midst, we ask you would forgive us and rather help us to see your hand is at work and give you praise for your grace, which continues to grow your church here in Sioux Center and churches elsewhere also. Lord God, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you might work in our hearts and lives to give us the desire to be of service to others as we have ability in our own ways, but in ways that will bring honor and glory to you and serve your people. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.